Welcome to this new episode of the OTT Makeshift Podcast. My name is Enrique Mendizábal. I'm the director of On Think Tanks. And in this episode, I have the pleasure to talk to Bob Wekesa. Bob is director of the African Center for the Study of the United States. This center is based in South Africa, which makes it quite unique. There aren't many think tanks around the world, especially in the global south, studying the global north, and in particular, the US and Europe. And I for sure think this is something that should be far more common, especially if we want to understand how the global north and the global south are relating to each other. So I hope you enjoy the episode and get some good ideas about future think tanks. Great. Okay, thank you very much for joining us. I'm here with Bob Wekesa, who's acting director for the African Center for the Study of the United States, based in Johannesburg. And we're here to talk about a very interesting initiative that I do not think one finds everywhere else, with some exceptions. So Bob, thank you for joining me in this OTT talk and OTT podcast. The first question I have for you is, you know, tell us a little bit about the African Center for the Study of the United States. What is it?
Yeah, so the African Center for the Study of the US was established in March 2018, and therefore becoming the first center of its kind in sub-Saharan Africa. There's a similar center in Morocco, but it's in the far north of the continent. Indeed, we are the first center of our kind, and we are established out of the realization that even as the US has a big impact, you know, economic, cultural, political, diplomatic impact on Africa, there are very few people that scholars, researchers, and so forth are analyzing, researching, and working on the US. So in a nutshell, the center was established to fill this knowledge gap, this information gap. And I think that's what we've been doing. But also, we were encouraged by the fact that when you look at the US itself, the United States, there are many African studies centers. You know, our count comes to over 20. Exactly. So it means that the Americans are studying us quite a lot, in fact. They understand us as much than we do. And so that there's an asymmetry there. That we thought we will try to fill by doing public engagement work, meaning webinars that we do, for example, formal teaching of courses across disciplines, you know, such as American history, American culture, American media industry, and so forth, as well as research and publication, which we've done either internally or with partners. So in a nutshell, that's what I'll say.
And when you say that you wanted to study the US or what's going on in the US, what are the issues that you address? I mean, are you looking at, for example, you know, foreign policy and that, you know, the issues that explain the US's own strategy in Africa? Or are you also looking at kind of domestic policy, maybe education policy, health policy, you know, so looking at within the US, what is your research agenda in relation to the US?
So we are very much interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary, transdisciplinary. The fact being that we are at a large university, you know, University of Witwatersrand, which has five faculties and many schools and departments. So there are colleagues who are, for example, working on nuclear energy, for example.
Right, okay.
They will be interested in Africa-US relations or what is happening in the US on matters nuclear. But then there are people in Witt School of Arts who look at things like film, like dance, like performance. So those, you know, theater and so forth, they'll be interested in that way. Personally, I come from a journalism, media, and diplomacy end of things. So that's what I really work on in terms of knowledge production, even as I work on matters administration and so forth. So in a nutshell, we have projects and programs across the various you know, disciplines. So for example, we're working on Africa-US economics and trade, you know, analyzing things such as the African Growth Opportunity Act, or Prosper Africa, which is a big initiative for entrepreneurship, or Power Africa. There are colleagues here who work on matters to do with youth engagement, for example. There are colleagues here who are interested in issues that are directly political, like, you know, when an incident such as George Floyd's death happens, for example, they analyze that as from political science, theorizing, looking at race relations and what they mean for, say, African Americans and Africa. So in a nutshell, anything that has a connection with the US is fair game for us.
Okay, that's interesting. And in this process, what do you think you've learned? Are there any big findings, any big lessons, any kind of studies that you think have illustrate the importance of this effort?
No, I think one of the things that we've learned pretty fast. First of all, let me also just add that this center is based at Wits University, mm-hmm. but we consider ourselves a pan-African think tank on the US. So we've developed partnerships with colleagues from other universities on the continent, in Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Malawi, name it, but also civil society organizations and so forth. And I say that because it has a link to what we have found out. One of the things we found out is that indeed there's a huge gap in terms of African understanding of the US. And then this gap arises out of the fact that there is no single American studies program on the African continent, in an African university.
Right.
So, as I mentioned earlier, on the reverse, we have American studies, Chinese studies, name it, African studies programs in the US. So I think what we have therefore determined to develop is that we are starting an American studies program as a degree course at master's and PhD level. To just fill that gap so that you can train a new cadre, a new cohort of students who are knowledgeable in the US, who can go on to work in areas such as business or government or entertainment, name it. I think that's...
Sorry, and this is done in partnership with your colleagues and institutions in other African countries. So the idea is that this is a kind of a pan-African course, or it's just hosted at WITS?
So we chose to take an incremental progressive approach. So we are starting at WITS. So from February next year, we'll be teaching a couple of courses, American history as units within degrees. Then in 2023, we'll have full-fledged American studies, degree courses offered at the center. Now, we are working with colleagues at universities such as UNILAC, University of Lagos, University of Nairobi, Makerere University, through a setup called ARUA, which is another kind of organization. It's African Research Universities Alliance, which brings together 17 universities. So we are working with them to also introduce such courses in the various other universities. A couple of colleagues in other universities, I can mention three or four, that are also looking to take our approach, the approach that we're using at WITS, that you introduce a course unit and then you grow it into a full-fledged degree. So that's the approach. We are doing it at WITS because this is home, but we're also encouraging colleagues out there and assisting in terms of curriculum development, developing course materials and so forth.
Do you know if there's European center, African center for the study of Europe, or an African center for the study of China that has a huge influence in the continent as well?
What it is, I think there is a move towards establishment of European studies centers. I've been in fact involved in some of those discussions. But as of now, I think apart from just a few places, like in Senegal, I think there's a university there that offers European studies. And I think in Uganda, Makerere University also has such, but there aren't that many. The areas that have grown rapidly in terms of studies is Chinese studies centers. And some of these centers are, most of them are in fact associated with the Chinese government.
I was going to say, because in this case, your center is independent from the US government. So you're studying the US government or the US in general, from an independent point of view, from a truly academic. Right? But the Chinese studies tend to be part of the Confucius centers network. And so they are part of China's own foreign policy.
I think they are part of Chinese soft power.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm sure you've had those arguments in the US and in Europe, where there's an attempt by countries and universities to push back, to say Confucius Institutes are not above the ground, as it were. They are not independent enough. They are compromised to the extent that it's actually Chinese resources, Chinese knowledge being brought on. Obviously, there's an account argument to say, no, look, it's a good thing for African countries. Because now, mm-hmm. I think there are over 48 of them, and that they help Africans to understand China, understand the language, and so forth. Yeah, but I think the biggest critique there has been that, a close association with the government might not augur well for independence of research. Now, in the case of our center, we work very closely with the U.S. government. In fact, they helped fund an aspect of the center at the beginning. But it's always very clear to them that our research might actually end up, the research and knowledge we produce might actually end up being critical of U.S. government. Mm-hmm. And we shall not shy away from saying that, being clear and frank about our findings. I think that's it.
Great. And I was going to ask you about what you think you've achieved in the last 3 to 4 years that the center has been running. I mean, I already identify, you've raised the visibility of American sort of U.S. history, U.S. studies. You've raised, you've identified a network of scholars in the continent. These seem to me quite important achievements that sort of, create or help build the capacity to study the U.S. and U.S.-Africa relations. But is there anything... any other things that you think have been, you can highlight as key achievements of the center in its young history?
No, I think it's almost just going back to what I was saying earlier, to just reemphasize very quickly the point that the fact that we've been able to develop partnerships on the continent with scholars who are interested in the US as a country, as a people, as a society, as a global power, in itself is an achievement. But also we've created partnerships with colleagues in the US. So we're working with various universities on various projects. For example, with the University of Southern California on public diplomacy and digital diplomacy, the use of digital tools to do diplomacy. With Michigan State University on issues to do with the diaspora, what we call old or historical diaspora, a new diaspora, African diaspora, with a university such as George Washington University on issues to do with engaging with former ambassadors, with Harvard University on issues to do with Black history, particularly every single February, we do joint activity with Harvard on just that, with the University of Michigan on issues to do with cities. As actors, cities as global actors, and so forth. So across all these projects, what we've done is we've published quite a bit, both in terms of academic publications. These are journal, peer-reviewed journal articles. So to put out that body of knowledge, which was missing, and but also understanding that we need to engage with the wider public. So there's some. You can't just be pedantic and abstract and university level. You also want knowledge to go to the common people. And so we published think pieces in newspapers and platforms that in a language also that is accessible to everyday people.
Right.
So I think we think that the creation of partnerships on the continent, partnerships with the colleagues in the US, production of knowledge across politics, culture, economics, and so forth, is a great achievement because in fact now we are becoming like the first entity that really focuses fully on the US and produce knowledge that goes in to inform activity and initiatives and projects.
And what do you think when you think about the future for the center? What is your vision for the center in the next 5 to 10 years or more?
I think the biggest vision that we have is, and I think I'll just go back to the earlier point, which is the establishment and sustaining an American studies project that we are starting with master's and PhD. So very soon we'll be having students graduating with, say, master's in American literature or a master's degree in American economics and trade. Because and a PhD as well. As we go forward, we'll actually introduce a first, an undergraduate degree as well. And I think this is the biggest vision for various reasons. One is that the landscape is unsustainable if you are going to rely just on donor funding. So that's a practical, reason for going. But number two, and more important perhaps, is that we want to have young people, graduates, that can actually say we understand the US and we can help therefore governments to develop policies, businesses to know how to approach Americans even from a cultural point of view. If in terms of entertainment, graduates who fully understand Hollywood, for example, and can advise African governments or African peoples or Africans interested in entertainment on how to go about establishing cultural industries such as those. So I think the biggest vision for us is really creating hundreds of people, not just here at Wits University, but across the continent, who can actually say, I have a master's degree or I have a PhD degree in American studies in a particular discipline.
That's interesting. You're creating a critical mass of individuals, a community that will sustain the project, will sustain the mission of the center, even beyond the boundaries, the physical boundaries of your center, right? Your center is a driver of this change throughout the continent. Well, that was very interesting. Thank you very much. And I really think it's a fascinating idea. Both on the practical aspects of it, right, to learn more about a huge power and a partner for the continent, but also this sort of sense of justice, right, that they study us, we should study them as well, right? And I think this certainly would strike a chord with other regions in the world. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you very much, Enrique, and looking forward to further discussions and so forth. Thank you.
And that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and do follow us on future episodes of the OTT Makeshift podcast. We will be back with a lot more in 2022. Goodbye.